This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So by now, you've probably heard this week's big story. The Fribble may be going the way of the dodo.
Friendly's, a New England family dining institution for more than 75 years, has filed for bankruptcy.
Now, we went to a Friendly's today in Watertown to hear what restaurant regulars have to say.
We love this place. We love the mashed potatoes, everything.
I'd be very sad if it happened. This is our favorite place to eat lunch.
So you can come with the kids, and you can get a dinner, and you can get an ice cream, and it's not outrageously expensive. Mini mozzarella's and dipping chicken too.
Cheeseburger sliders and soda that is blue. Friendly's has been a staple for many, many generations, and sad that they're going away.
The atmosphere has changed. It's not as friendly as it was years ago.
It's a terrible shame. I mean, it's a reflection of what's happening in our society on a whole.
So what does the Friendly's bankruptcy say about our society as a whole? The chain closed 63 stores overnight and laid off 1,200 workers, half of them here in Friendly's home state.
Doesn't sound so friendly, but the company says it's a victim of a challenging economy, which has families cutting back on restaurant outings while the cost of food has climbed.
Restaurant industry analysts point to changing tastes. In the era of whole grains and healthy foods, the fish-a-majig sandwich, the dippin' chicken salad, and the Jim Dandy,
which would be 5 scoops of ice cream, strawberry pineapple topping, marshmallow and chocolate topping, a fresh split banana, sprinkles, and walnuts.
Well, the Jim Dandy just may not sound so dandy anymore.
We're talking about the Friendly's bankruptcy today because whatever the reason, it says something about how, why, and what we eat today.
So you can join us. What is your favorite Friendly's memory? Has the chain changed since you were a kid? Or do you still take your kids out for a Fribble? And what do you make of the bankruptcy of what seems like yet another iconic New England brand? And if you haven't been to a Friendly's recently, I want to know, what would it take to get you to go back? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment on our website, radioboston.org, where Jan Dumas has kicked off the conversation saying, I am sure that Friendly's will, like Brigham's before it, live for a while in the freezer aisles of the local grocery store. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at Radio Boston, where on Facebook, Kathleen Lambert has written, Friendly's has spent 30 years trying to decide if it's a slightly nicer McDonald's, she's actually written, quote, McDeath, or a low-rent TGIF. It needs to make a choice, stick with it, and work the nostalgia angle. So if you think Friendly's should work the nostalgia angle or you have some other idea to save this restaurant, again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. Well, joining us now first from his offices in Friendly's home city of Wilbraham is the chairman and chief executive of the company, Harsha Agadi. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mr. Agadi.
Thank you very much. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well, probably better than you might be feeling after having closed more than 60 stores, 30 of them in Massachusetts. I understand today that Friendly's in bankruptcy court received approval for a $50 million loan. How is that going to help fund operations in the immediate future?
We are, the approval was very smooth, and we are very stable and moving forward. I think the first thing I should really kind of get across is Friendly's is not going away. We have 424 locations operating and will continue to operate, and we have 71 locations in Massachusetts. And we're very proud to be part of Massachusetts, and I happen to be a Massachusetts resident as well.
Well, Friendly's, I hear you when you say Friendly's may not be going away, but at
it's not may not be, will not go away.
Okay, so on the other hand, though, from what I understand, you have about $297 million in debt, assets at about $100 million. I guess what my question is for you is, how did Friendly's reach the point where it had to actually file Chapter 11?
Well, it was very simple. I would call it three factors. The first is the severe economic downturn in the country and particularly in the Northeast. The second is a rapid escalation of commodity costs, and we rely, as you would imagine, heavily on dairy. and cream, and that escalated dramatically over the last 2 years. And the third
in your court filing, I'm sorry to interrupt, but in your court filing, I see that you've said that butter has soared 57.5%.
Yes, correct.
Wow,
that's pretty dramatic when you're producing millions and millions of gallons of ice cream. And then the third and final piece is the rents we were paying on these stores, and particularly the ones that we closed, were non-market rents, and in fact, in my humble opinion, maybe even outrageous. And we had to get out of these locations that were underperforming so we could protect and move forward the remaining 9,000-plus employees and the 424 locations in 13 states in the United States.
Mr. Agati, if, as you said, Friendly's is not going away, what's next for the company? How are you going to get it out of bankruptcy, even though you just got in, but what's your plan to get out?
Very simple. We have launched, as you might have already heard, a very aggressive marketing campaign starting in September called the High Five Campaign. And we have five extremely simple products that we're very well known for, that we are selling for $5. Loaded waffle fries, grilled chicken wrap, and our all-American burger with cheese, and always fresh, never frozen. That's how Friendly's was at least 10 years or 20 years ago. And what we are doing as a team is going back to some of those old formulas that improve the quality of the product dramatically. And it is in our heritage to serve good food, and that's exactly the direction we're going in. The other two are Turkey Club Supermelt Sandwich and Crispy Chicken Salad. We genuinely believe we have the solution to value in today's declining economic conditions of the country, where a family can come and each one can have a meal for $5.
Mr. Agati, if I may ask, you just said that commodity prices have gone through the roof for you. How is it that the math squares that charging only $5 a meal, along with having these very high rents, as you said, is going to actually produce the revenues to save the company?
Okay, let me address both. The good news is, we did get our 63 stores that immediately improves the profitability of the company, but more importantly, the landlords are now willing to talk to us to help reduce rents across the system for us so that it makes it a much more viable operation. And we are in talks with them, and they seem to be quite cooperative and positive, being an iconic brand, at least in this part of the country. In addition to that, commodity costs have started to come down, starting with dairy. It is actually down over the last 2 weeks and will continue to go down. Now, the best news I want to give you is Friendly's has always made money. We've always had positive cash flow, including this year. But what we are doing by what we've done is our cash flow would have increased dramatically with the closure of 63 stores. We can now reinvest money internally generated to enhance our stores and reinvest in the training and the operations to deliver the customer experience that we need.
Harsha Agati, Chairman and CEO of Friendly's, speaking to us today from his offices in Wilbraham. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. And again, I want to thank all the guests across Massachusetts.
That's Harsha Agati again, head of Friendly's. We've got a couple guests who have a lot to say about the restaurant industry and about what Friendly's is telling us about how we eat. I want to introduce them in a moment, but we also have a ton of callers with a lot of Friendly's memories, so I'm just going to sneak one in here while I can. Michael is calling from Waltham. You're on the air, Michael.
Hi. When I was a kid in Old Wethersfield, Connecticut, I guess I was 10 or 12, no older than that, couldn't have been 1948 or 1950. We heard about, through the Kid, network, that a store named Friendly's had opened up in Rocky Hill, which was the next town over. We were both semi-rural then. And that they had this incredible drink called an awful, awful. It was a thick, thick milkshake made all with dairy, because, of course, they didn't do it with these weird things they do nowadays. And it was awful big and awful good. That's why it's called an awful, awful. And it was so thick that you know how you have to eat hot soup by going around the rim?
Yeah.
Well, it was so thick, it was so viscous, that only by going around the edge and sucking on your little fat straw were you able to get it in.
Michael,
and it took quite a time, and they were famous for awful awfuls then, and they don't have them anymore.
Michael, thank you so much for your call and for that Memories from Friendlies of 1950s. Well, joining me now is Christopher Muller. He is the Dean of the School of Hospitality Administration at Boston University. Thank you so much for joining us
today. Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Also with us is Michael Luca. He is Assistant Professor of Business Administration at Harvard Business School. Welcome to you, Mr. Luca.
Thank you.
Chris Muller, you just heard Michael share his story about the awful, awful from the 1950s friendlies. But it's the thing that stayed with me. It's a memory that he's retained with him for 50 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have similar sense or feeling about what this brand, this restaurant means for New England?
Well, and I think that that's a really important factor. This is a legacy brand. This is, you know, when I ask people about Friendly's, the first thing they say is, I love Friendly's. And then I say, well, do you love Friendly's or do you love the memory of Friendly's? And I think the second is more important. They have this memory of these great, iconic sub-brands, Friendly's, Fribbles, Awful Awful, Supermelts, all of these things that they remember, just like we still remember Howard Johnson's, which is where the this category started.
Mm, and I understand that you even have your own Friendly's memory.
I do. I grew up on Long Island, and when I was in high school, my friend Brian's father, Dick Emmett, said, we've got to go to this new place. We're going to go to this place called Friendly's. It was 5 miles away. He loaded his entire station wagon full of kids, and we drove 5 miles to go have ice cream at this place called Friendly's. It was in 1966.
Well, let's get down to sort of the nitty-gritty here. I mean, you heard Harsha Agadi, head of Friendly's, a few minutes ago saying, Friendly's is going to be here. We're not going anywhere. We're sort of retooling and getting back down to our core business, which is good food at affordable prices. But really, why is it, do you think, that this particular family restaurant has found itself in such trouble today?
Well, I mean, I think that's the crux here, is that the business has changed over the last 50 years. The restaurant business, as we know it, is really a post-World War II phenomenon. Fast food really came in the 50s and 60s. This business, Friendly's, was from the 20s. It was from the previous Depression, a copy of Howard Johnson's. They were simple models. It was full service and limited service until quick service came in. This is what's called the family dining segment or coffee shop business. The problem is it's squeezed from the bottom, from McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks even, mm-hmm. and it's squeezed from the top from the full service sort of casual theme. So they're in a price range. You know what? For people who play tennis or have watched tennis, you can either rush the net or you can play the baseline, but you can't stand in the middle on the tee. Friendly's is in the middle.
Well, I mean, it made me wonder because, you know, there's Denny's, Applebee's, Chili's. It seems like there's a lot of family dining restaurants out there that are doing fairly well. What's Friendly's doing that's so different that put them in such trouble?
Well, one of it is price. When he talks about $5, he's got a different labor model than, say, a Panera Bread, where it's about an $8 average check, but you serve yourself. It's
right, you clear your own table.
It's that do-it-yourself economy that we're so getting used to. Friendly's still has full service. Trying to make money at $5 when those other places are typically $8, $9, $10. It's a big difference competing in that $3 to $5 average check range. You just can't make money. It's a squeeze.
Michael Luca, you've written a recent paper called Reviews, Reputation, and Revenue, the Case of Yelp. And the reason why I found it to be really interesting and actually quite relevant to this conversation is that not only is the issue is there the issue of Friendly's business model, can they survive at $5 a plate, but it's just, you know, how is it that we decide where we're going to eat today? And what have you found? Like, do family restaurants like this do well in an age where so many people are making their dining decisions based on what their friends have said on Yelp?
So I wouldn't say anything about Friendly's in particular, but what I'd like to say is that there's a broader transformation going on. And the transformation is really coming from social media and the way that we make decisions at a very fundamental level. I think with the advent of things like Yelp, which is what I study in my paper, and similar types of sites, we're seeing that people don't need to rely on the branding that's traditionally been associated with companies like Friendly's and Applebee's and Chili's and McDonald's. So if I could just kind of give a quick example, we could think about Kenmore Square. This is an area that's highly trafficked, sitting right next to Fenway Park, a place where families are going by looking to make decisions, mm-hmm. get a quick meal. You could look at, there's a McDonald's there. The McDonald's on Yelp has 9 consumer reviews, 9. 2.5 stars, not doing very well. If you look at the U Burger across the street, it has 286 reviews. So this is a local burger place which is getting a lot of press, not through traditional types of marketing, but through this creation of consumer-driven energy and excitement about a new type of restaurant.
Well, isn't that one of the problems that these chain-type restaurants and family chain restaurants face, is that back in the day, their greatest strength was that they were so familiar. You could go anywhere where there was a Friendly's or a McDonald's or whatever and say, I know what I'm going to get when I walk through those doors. That actually might be one of their disadvantages now, Michael Luca.
I think that's exactly right. So I'd like to actually, what the caller said really resonated with me, because he was talking about this exciting story about he had gone to Friendly's and he had this very thick milkshake and it was really an exciting thing. It's something that he could talk about with friends and experience he could share. Now you could go onto Yelp and learn this type of experience about a lot of different people who are excited to share it and putting their pictures next to it and sharing all their insights about restaurants.
And no one's really going to get excited about something that they're very familiar with already.
Whether you go to a Friendly's in Massachusetts, New York, or elsewhere, you're going to get the same thing.
Christopher Mueller, talk to me about the food itself. I mean, we sort of hinted at the introduction to this segment, and you've mentioned things like Panera, another name that's come up in the research, like Chipotle Mexican Grill, that really sort of tries to highlight its healthy and organic sourcing of its food. Is that an important driver in restaurants these days?
Well, I think that health is always going to be a driver, but I think that we still go out for an experience, and we want comfort food in many cases. And the kinds of foods that Friendly's was known for, which is high fat content, ice cream, milkshakes, high fat content burgers and fries. There is a segment for that. We talk like we're healthy, but we're really not. Even like
everybody loves a good shake.
Well, you know, the big thing right now is yogurt. So Pinkberry and those kinds of places. But they are low fat to start with. But then you put all this stuff on top, and the calorie counts go out, through the roof. We're really not as healthy in eating as we think we are. We just talk about it.
So it doesn't matter. So Friendly's doesn't need to go down the road of saying, you know, we're going to have salads. We're going to have, frozen yogurt rather than butter-laden ice cream.
You can have that on there for the veto vote. You know, somebody saying, I'm not going to go there because they don't have these things. So you put a salad on there. But then you put a piece of fried chicken on a salad, you've ruined the entire thing. Or you put buttermilk ranch dressing on it. It's, you know, you sort of have it both ways. I think what they've lost is the actual sense of quality in the product, that they've lost their sense of connectionness and relevance to the customer. And so it's not the products themselves. It's the way that it's delivered in the store. It's the way that it's cooked. One of my friends said all they have to get back to is serving hot food hot and cold food cold. They seem to have lost that most simple basic thing in the restaurant business.
Well, a little earlier today, we went out. We sent our producer, Dan Mozzie, out to the Friendly's in Watertown to get a sense as to what actual patrons to the restaurant think about their dining experience. So let's listen to what they had to say.
I'm Betsy, and I live in Medford. I'd like to see them serving healthier food, especially because it's a kids' restaurant.
My name's Paul. I'm from Taunton, Massachusetts. I think you should keep it the way it is. It works.
My name is Tara Rivard, and I live in Needham. The service at Friendly's, particularly the one in Needham, is atrocious. You can go in, there will be maybe 5 tables there, and you can wait over 2 hours just to have your appetizers. I have a small child, and it was impossible. She had nothing to do, just crawling up the walls. And sure, Friendly's is a family-friendly place. It's not family-friendly when it takes that long to get your kid food.
My name is George Omartian. Originally Springfield, founding place of Friendly Ice Cream, I now live in Watertown, Mass. They have gotten away from their primary menu. They've tried to get fancy, they've tried to get exotic, and that was heading in the wrong direction. Just today, I wanted a cheeseburger, and that is basically a grilled cheese with a medium rare hamburger stuck in it. They wanted to provide onion, lettuce, and tomato on a fancy bun. I wasn't looking for that.
Those are voices of Friendly's customers in Watertown today. You hear them work, like, stick with what you know. That seems to be one of the themes here. Christopher Mueller and Michael Luca, if you could just hang on for a minute. We got a lot of callers.
Absolutely.
I'd like to roll through a bunch of them if I could. Casey is calling from Chelmsford. You're on the air, Casey.
Hi, Renee. I used to love Friendly's as a kid. It had fried food. All kids love fried food. But now I'm not really willing to go out and pay for something that's processed and frozen. So I think that they need to evolve with the times, and they might see a little bit, you know, of an increase in their profits.
So if you saw more fresh food coming back on the menu, would you head back to Friendly's, Casey?
Absolutely. You know, it's a great thing to be investing in right now.
Casey, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Wilbraham again, where Friendly's is headquartered. Tobin is calling from there. You're on the air, Tobin.
Hi, I'm actually in Boston, and I'm from Wilbraham, and everybody in my family's worked there, including myself. My father's a builder. We did work inside the plant, and my mother grew up around the first around the neighborhood of the first Friendly's. But yeah, they should get back to you know, their menu of the 60s and 70s. It was just simple, and it doesn't. It's just kind of plasticky now, you know. But the favorite story is my brother working in the plant, my next younger brother, Eric, and they had a breakdown in the machine, and during the summertime, they were shoveling orange sherbet out the door with snow shovels. So that's a good memory.
Tobin, thank you so much for your call. I can just see the image of orange sherbet in the snow out there. Megan is calling from Waltham. You're on the air, Megan.
Hi. For me, Friendly's was always the place we went after, like, middle school and high school plays. Without any discussion, it was definitely where we went. But it's also always been known for just having really bad service, really slow. And so now, if you're going to go there, even though there's, like, a sentimental value, if you have under, like, 2 hours, you probably don't want to go because you can't guarantee that you're going to get your food on time. And so I think that even though there is a big sentimental value and there's still things in the item that you like and you miss, it's like, you know, once you're not a teenager, you're not really willing to pay for bad service anymore. We went when we were young because nobody else would take us.
Megan, thank you so much for your call as well. Michael Luca and Christopher Muller, a whole variety of voices there. It seems like we're hearing some very simple things that would draw people back. A, service. You don't want to wait 2 hours to have a meal. B, keep the menu simple. We have a copy of the takeout menu here in the studio, and it's like, look at this. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6... 7 pages long, at least.
It's about 60 items.
60 items. So these are two very simple and straightforward things. But I guess I'm asking you both, does that seem like it's enough in an age where Yelp is so dominant in helping people decide where they want to eat? Or health food is, if not an overwhelming factor, an important factor in people's dining choices? Michael?
So I'm not confident that it is enough. The way that I kind of think about these things is we've seen this creation of Yelp. Other sites are following suit. Yelp, what I find in my paper is that Yelp is very influential in helping people to learn about restaurants. But this is something that's unique to independent restaurants, smaller chains, restaurants that don't have a built brand like Friendly's. When Friendly's gets a review on Yelp, it doesn't have the same type of effect on sales. So even as the quality changes, it's very hard for them to change that reputation.
Oh, interesting. Christopher Muller, there's one question that I did want to direct your way, because it occurs to me that one of Friendly's great strengths is that it is a family dining experience. You know, it's a place where all families, maybe many middle-class families in a lot of the cities and towns that Friendly's are located in, it's the place where they can go and relax, take their kids. With that sort of shrinking and going away, I mean, what is that telling us about the economy and the restaurant industry and the options that families have?
Well, and I think that's a big problem, is that the demographics have changed a lot in the last 50 years. That's one of the problems with this particular segment. Family dining doesn't exist because families don't exist like they used to. This is, you know, if you go to a Friendly's now, you're more likely to see single parents with their kids. They're still looking for affordable value. But they've made it too complex, and they've made it too slow. If you're going to bring your kids in, the service better be quick. Not as fast as fast service, but it has to be in within 15 or 20 minutes from the time you walk in, because, you know, a 5 or 6 year old is not going to sit there and wait for their meal. And I think they've lost the key points. One of the reasons is they've got too many things on the menu.
Well, Christopher Muller is the dean of the School of Hospitality Administration at Boston University. Thank you so much joining us. And Michael Luca, assistant professor of business administration at Harvard Business School. Really great to have you as well.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can continue this conversation online at our website, radioboston.org. We will be back after a short break. Up next, our weekend arts picks. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks, who just stepped back from having a fribble. This is Radio Boston.